This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full.
The following service was recorded live on Sunday, May 14, 2017, at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
This is my commandment, to love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full.
Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here with you this morning. Of course, this is Mother's Day Sunday, and we want to wish all of the mothers everywhere a happy Mother's Day. Did you know, I got some things about Mother's Day I thought might be interesting to pass along. August is the most popular month to have a baby. And in August, Tuesday is the day that is most often a birthday. Now, speaking of days, I'd like to have everybody who had a birthday on Thursday last week raise their hand. Oh, I see a hand back here. Pastor Jim had a birthday last Thursday. Who else has a birthday in May? Raise your hand. There's one back there. There's one over here. There's one right here. Can we do a little happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Well,
my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
You'll find your reading in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 10. Listen to the word of God, O people of God. Rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of God for the people of God.
Chosen. Mother's Day Sunday morning. A strange sounding text from 1 Peter for a Mother's Day, wasn't it? Family, traditions, history. Much to reflect on. How many of you have family members that you don't acknowledge? Come on, you're in church. God already knows. Yep, I see that. At least some are honest. The rest of you are thinking, now, which one would it be? How many? Well, qualify. How many of you have family members that you want everybody to know they're part of your family? Yeah, you kind of really, especially us grandparents, you know? Donna, we like the people know we got our grandkids out there, don't we? I really do. I mean, it's really cool to tell them all about, you know, and to be able, how many of you bring them up in conversation? You know, just some way, somehow it steers right into that, don't it? We bring it right around. Chosen. Picked. It means that somebody had their eye on us, doesn't it? Chosen. Selected. They saw something that maybe someone else didn't see. I bet somebody in your life did that for you, didn't they? I hope that somebody somewhere along the way made you feel special, loved, appreciated. That maybe somebody in your life has been that person who chose, despite maybe your wonderful, flowery personality, to love you anyway. Maybe despite your pleasant moods that you're so often found in, to tolerate you, maybe even to humor you. Maybe someone in our life has made a choice to love us. Maybe it was our mothers. Maybe it was someone else. Maybe it was a grandparent. Maybe it was someone else. But I think that most of us can think of someone, somewhere, who loved us, who just loved us, didn't they? They didn't expect things in return, but they did have hopes. Or maybe they do. Chosen. How many of you growing up in school were on the wall? You know, some of you went right there, didn't you? Waiting to be chosen. Or you were in the circle. How many of us were last? How many of us got picked because we were popular, not good? Chosen. There are many times in life when we get chosen. Sometimes it's a great honor. Sometimes it's a lot of responsibility, isn't it? Sometimes we're chosen even when we don't want to be. You know, I became a dad, and I wish that those children would come with instruction sheets. You know, it would really be nice if maybe a month ahead of time, a magical set of instructions would show up that says, this is going to be hard. It's going to eat and poop. And anything else it's going to cry about or sleep. Life is filled with times when we too have to make choices. When we have to choose things. I want to encourage us a little bit, and I'm getting to the text, to make good choices. What are they? They're not always as they seem. Oh, I'm not talking about laying away drugs and alcohol and da-da-da-da, those things. I'll get to those in a minute. I'm talking about making another choice. How many of you have noticed that sometimes the day does not go well? Maybe it starts out really good, and then something happens along the way. I'm going to walk you through a couple instances in my life, and I've had to learn along the way something I share with you as we get ready to go into Peter's letter to the Christian church, Christian community. Along life's way, I've learned there are some things that I want to remember, and there are some things I want to forget, and I can choose. I can let them go or let them weigh me down. I can lift them up that they would lift me up, or I can leave them behind. I remember when my first daughter was born by cesarean. I didn't care, boy or girl, I just wanted it healthy. So when it came out of that place, I was watching. I was amazed. It was a whole person that came out. Little. And I was counting ears and nose and toes. And I was doing that, you know. And then they handed it to me. How many of you really think a newborn baby's pretty? I mean, be honest. That's one of the weirdest looking little things that's ever showed up. Hairy, fuzzy, wrinkled, and messy. Now give it a little while and it pretties right up. But that initial sight, you didn't see it if you thought it was pretty. Anyway, I burned that one in. Second one, burned that one in. The first steps, burned those in. Trinity, it's time to embarrass you a little bit. She had a play horse with a metal frame, and man, she wore that thing out. I heard her coming, yelling, "Papa, Papa, Papa, Band-Aid, Band-Aids." I go in the living room, and I was expecting somebody was dying and needed a Band-Aid, you know. There was a little horse covered in Band-Aids. There wasn't one to be had that wasn't on that little horse. I burned that one in too. I got pictures too. I burned that one in. I read Psalm 23 and looked across the rail with tears streaming down my face and told my daddy it was okay to go be with Jesus. And he stopped breathing. The pain and suffering of this life he had left behind. Burned that one in too. Her name was Nikki, a little girl with leukemia. Was there many times in the hospital. Saw her and was with her when she got her first bone marrow transplant. And the room smelled like flowers. And I held her as she died. Carried her from her bedroom to the stretcher so they could take her away. I burned that one in too. She loved to play tic-tac-toe and hangman. The list goes on. What have you chosen to remember? What have you chosen to remember? I watched a little boy who had just started the first grade put on a set of ice skating skates for the first time and slide out onto the ice and go kaboom soon thereafter. Once. It was almost like he was born to have skates on his feet, little Nick. And I watched and I remembered. Chosen. Life is filled with choices, and I always remind you, always two, no more, no less, but two, to choose to hold on to some things and to choose to let some things go. In our scripture this morning for Mother's Day, it is appropriate because I think Mother's Day is about family. I think that family isn't defined as mama, daddy, baby, boy, one or two. I don't think family anymore is defined in that traditional sense in our country today. I think we just need to use the word family. How many of you know about the blended family things? That nuclear family is harder to come by, isn't it? Notice that Peter begins by telling us to make some choices. He says to rid ourselves of all, not some, not part, don't save you some, of a few things. Malice, meanness, mean-spirited, spiteful. That's no place in the family period, is it? Of that spiteful and mean spirit, that sharp tongue, cut them down, tear them down stuff. There's no room for that, is there? It's that, some of you know what I'm talking about now, don't you? You ever met that one that was mean of spirit and mouth? Let me encourage you to choose not to be that way. Your actions may determine whether someone in your words will ever see Jesus as a loving Savior or not. Be careful. Your tone, your body language. I want to share with you this. How many of you want more kids in church? Okay. More youth in church. How many of you know how to keep them out of church? Scream at them, yell at them, fuss at them for making a little noise. They won't be back. Love them. That's the big. You know what I really like? Just before I got to come over here, Trinity was sitting with me over. I seen a little head bobbing, and he went out that way just a minute ago. I like it. You know when Ben comes up here, I love it. When a kid embarrasses you, it's fun. It really is. I've had them take a high dive from three steps up and do achy breaky heart right in the middle of the sanctuary. They wanted to do a song for the church. I should have asked beforehand the song. And he air guitared the whole thing. He didn't miss a beat. He did a good job. We give him a hand of applause when he was done. And little Stevie goes to church now. Oh, he took a walk on the wild side. But he remembered church as a good place. To lay aside malice in your life. You don't have room for it. You don't have shoulders wide enough for it or a back strong enough for it. Let it go. Choose. And guile. Do you know what this one means? Venomous. Just mean and irritable. Guile. Just, have you ever heard somebody say, that person just guiles me? They just get to me? lay it down. You know, somebody's going to get to you if you let them. Choose not to. When people are being negative, you know, do the duck thing. Do you know what that is? Let it roll off your back. You know, I'm going to share this with you, and you can laugh if you want to. When somebody's doing that to me, one of the things I've done is I quack in my mind. When they're doing this, I go, quack, 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 quack. So, and then I start to laugh inside, you know. So all I hear them then from then on, they sound like Charlie Brown's teacher, only with a quack, 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 quack. And if they would just look, they'd see me do this. So what? You know, let it go. Don't carry it around. It'll eat you inside out, turn you inside out, and make you bitter and angry at life. It'll destroy your peace. It'll destroy your joy. Just because somebody's negative, don't let it soak in. Put on your alligator skin and the armor of Jesus. Pray for them, because they're the one that's going to be hurting. Insincerity. Boy, this is a big one for today, isn't it? Insincerity. How many times has somebody asked you how you felt and you knew they didn't care? Honestly. People are up to, how are you doing today? What are you going to say? I'm fine. How are you? Be careful. The insincerity can go two ways. If you ask it, mean it. If you say it, mean it. Insincerity means a failure of compassion and care that's real. Choose to be real. Don't ask it if you don't mean it. Don't say it if you won't do it. Be committed to it. Sincere in it. Put away that insincerity. Be real. That's one thing I like about most of the people in Wyoming. Pretty real. Pretty down to earth. You know, that kind of tell you what they think when they think it. And that's okay with me. Put away envy. You know, we live in a society today where everybody has to have something, don't they? And if somebody else has got something, they want it too, don't they? Do you know how much money is made because they offer us something bigger and better that we don't really need? How many of you have ever traded cars because your neighbor got one? Or how many of you done a little extra landscaping because your neighbor did? Oh, come on. How many of us have went and traded cars that were perfectly fine, but we found a million problems wrong with them? Why envy? How many of us have resented somebody having something because we didn't? How many of us have made the statement, well, they didn't deserve a raise, I didn't get one? Oh, let's get a little more real. Or why didn't I get that instead of them? Or what about this one? I try to live a good life and I have all these problems and they do anything they want to and they don't have any problems. Put away envy. No room for it. No room for it. It just causes more problems. They got a better this, they got a better that. I want this, I want that. Go back to the first 10. Thou shalt not covet. You know, this envy. Don't be envious of people. You don't see the whole picture. You may be envious of somebody that's rotting on the inside. I've known a lot of people that had everything the earth could give them were miserable. Miserable on the inside. Because they were missing something we're getting to. In just a minute. And slander. Gossip. If you can't say something good, what should you say? Nothing at all. That means there will be a lot of conversations pretty darn short. Because some people can't do anything except run their neighbor down. Find fault with somebody. Tear them down behind their back. If you don't believe what I'm saying, why don't you come and do my job for a little while? And you'll hear all about it. Run them down. Be careful. that reflects worse on you than it does them. Slander. Now it says, be like newborn infants, nourishing ourselves on the Spirit to let God work in us. Now let's look at this just for a second. Like newborn infants, long for the pure and spiritual milk so that by it you may grow into salvation. Being a Christian isn't something that happens overnight. It isn't something that's done without making mistakes. It's not that you don't stumble, fall. It's that you're forgiven and get another shot. It's that we may grow into it. There are levels of maturity in Christianity. Some of us are at different places. I'm a slow learner. What can I say? You know, it's just the way it is. But grow into it. But I like this verse 3. If indeed you have tasted, experienced, and knows that God is good. Do you know that this morning? Do you really know that God is good? Do you know His goodness in your life? Have you chosen to look for it? You could choose what you want to see. Can you see God's goodness in a sunrise? In the ability to dress yourself? The ability to go for a walk? The shelter that's over your head, the food that's on your table, and the bed you slept in, the electricity that turns on the lights and the water that runs through the pipes. Have you been thankful for the air you breathe? That you can see? Have you been grateful that your hands still work and that you can still feel? Have you been thankful for the little things? For I find that if we aren't thankful in the little, we certainly won't be thankful for the bigger. We'll live in expectation and entitlement. And nothing will ever satisfy us. We'll want more and more and more. And then we'll want our own way. And our favorite phrase will be, well, I deserve it. Why can't I have it? Church, we need to know we should never get what we deserve. We better go for mercy. And it says, let ourselves be built. That's a process of growing. That's a process of developing. It's about those choices to let some stuff go and hold on to some stuff, stuff that's near and dear. Let God work in our life to be built into this spiritual house, not into this junk room. But into the spiritual house, this spiritual stone, this spiritual building, not for your gain and benefit, but that others might see Christ at work in you. It's Christ at work in you. It isn't what you do. It isn't that you've overcome. He's that He has worked in you and through you to grow you into this spiritual temple, this stone house, not made with hands. It goes on and talks about the stone the builders rejected, but I want you to look at verse 8 just for a second, and we'll close in 9 and 10. They stumble because they disobey the word of God, as they were destined to do because they rejected Him, Jesus. Jesus. Folks, you can go your way and suffer the consequences thereof. Or go with Him, and even if it don't work out, He's still with you. But it'll work out for more, far more often than not. So now, I've talked about family, but I want to close with 9 and 10. I want you to hear them. Close your eyes for just a second. Don't go to sleep, though. Peter is writing to a diverse body here. He's talking to a people who had been pushed out, the Gentiles. He's talking to the Jews who have lost their way and are unsure and have found the Messiah was Jesus, and they've really been pushed at this. And he's speaking to us today who maybe feel a little outside of things, a little odd, a little different. Maybe things haven't went as we think they should. Maybe things have went really bad, or maybe things have really been good. And Peter says to them, and I say to you today, but you are a chosen people. God has chosen us. God has chosen us from the sidelines and from the circles of life. He's chosen us because of the love that is in Christ Jesus. You are a chosen people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. You have been redeemed from a place of condemnation to a place of elevation to the order of a priesthood in Christ Jesus, if you've so believed and tasted and accepted the stone the builders rejected. You've become a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You can open your eyes. There's something about being part of a family. It's good, it's bad, it's indifferent, it can be what it is, but it gives us a sense of belonging. It gives us a sense of foundation and footing. It gives us a sense of heritage and connections. Part of being a family is, how many of you have sat and your mother or your father or your grandmother have told you family stories? Sometimes embarrassing ones. But it gives you a sense of connection, history, and heritage. It gives you a sense of knowing. I guess what it does is it kind of gives us a center, doesn't it? It doesn't necessarily define us. It doesn't necessarily, unless we choose for it to, it doesn't mean that we're going to be A, B, C, D. And it always bothers me when I hear a parent say to a kid, well, I wasn't good at math, so you're not going to be good either. You don't know that. They're not you. They're only part you. So it gives us that sense of center. And for us as Christians, God has chosen us to be a part of His family. And we could choose to be a part, or we could choose to reject it. Salvation's available to all who accept Jesus. And when we accept it, then God becomes the center of that family. And all of a sudden, that hierarchy that used to be has disappeared. You notice in our song this morning, it's brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, we become part of the family of God. Chosen race, a set-aside people, peculiar. And our lineage and our heritage goes back into the Jewish community. It goes back to those early disciples. It goes back to that early church. It goes back to the time of the Reformation. It goes back to the time of the First Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, when our churches began to spring up across this country and the foundations were laid. Look at the dates, from the 1860s to the 1920s. Look at when the foundations of churches, this one was 1891. I think that's right. History person, Salma, is that right? Right after the Second Great Awakening, the revival era. Our heritage and our lineage and our family tree extends from the very hand of God and joined together at the cross of Christ. Chosen. That's what we are. loved. That's what we are. Redeemed. That's what we are. We've received mercy instead of justice. We've received grace instead of condemnation. We've become a chosen people, peculiar. Some are more peculiar than others. I have to admit that. I'm one of the peculiar ones, I guess. But always remember, you're part of the family of God. You're part of the church. You're part of its heritage. You're part of its connection. You're part of its story. And everyone's story is a little different. Everyone's relationship is a little different. Everyone's growing at a different rate. Let us be patient with one another, praying for one another without ceasing, offering love, grace, and mercy as we have been and received of the same. Stand up for a second. Come on. Do a slow 360. Look around as you do it. Come on, look around. Now, go the other way. 360. Pastor, you're crazy. I'm getting dizzy. That's why I had you go the other way. It'll undo it. Now, turn around and look at somebody. Look at them. Really look at them. Today, remember, this is your brother or your sister in Christ. Today, this is, again, a look at your family on a Mother's Day Sunday morning. To look at those who are on the journey with you, different times, different places, different experiences, but still, the church of Jesus Christ. Behold your family. Behold the members thereof and those on the journey with you. Amen.
You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry. I believe in you. Believe in you for your faithful love to me. You have been my help in time of need. Lord, unto you will I cleave. You are the rock of my salvation. You are the strength of my life. You are my hope and my inspiration. Lord, unto you will I cry. I believe in you, for your faithful love to me. You have been my help in time of need. Lord, unto you will I cleave. You are my rock of
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like more information about our church, please email us at rsfumc@hotmail.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. Audio copies of this message are also available online at www.rockspringsumc.org. Times for worship and other activities are also available on our website. Please feel free to share this CD with others, or if you need additional copies, contact us by phone or email.
To accept that we have been chosen and that we can let these things go in you, that our sins are forgiven, our slates are wiped clean, and that with you, Christ Jesus, in our hearts, we can have a new life filled with new opportunities and new possibilities. Yes, Father, there'll be challenges. Yes, Father, there'll be times when we struggle, but that's when we need to remember we're still part of the family and that we're being built and that we're growing. So, Father, today help us to know wherever we are in our journey that we are not alone, that you are with us, and that we are too part of a chosen race of people, the family of God. Now may we go in peace and grace and love and mercy to truly be that family which is yours. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go in peace in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.